everyone, and welcome to New Matter, the SLAS podcast where we interview life science luminaries. I'm your host, Hannah Rosen, and today we will be continuing our series on career trajectories. Our guest today is Kalpesh Gupta, Associate Director of Research Automation at Moderna. Thank you for joining us, Kalpesh.
Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So to start us off, can you kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, when you were a kid, what did you think you wanted to be when you grew up?
As most of the kids, I didn't know what I wanted to be. On a day basis, it changed. Sometimes I wanted to be a doctor. Sometimes I wanted to be an engineer. Sometimes I wanted to be a sports person because we were playing cricket and I love to do that. I remember my father was very particular about what he wanted me and my brother to be. He wanted one of them to be an accountant and the other one to be an engineer. As a kid, I was always fascinated with the things and how they work. So I used to take them apart. Interestingly, at that time, I didn't know that engineering have several different fields. But now looking back at it, it seems that with my father's persuasiveness and me having interest with the mechanics, I became an engineer.
Okay. How did you feel about that?
As I was mentioning earlier, it's just upbringing. It was never like that. Okay, you have to question or it is something, do I want to do? It was from, I say, maybe third or fourth grade, like after elementary, it was that, okay, I will be an engineer. So that was the thing I was supposed to do.
Okay. Yeah. So you just were like, all right, this is the career path. We're going to go and we're going to do it. That's awesome. So you kind of answered this question already, but I was wondering, you know, if you had anybody who really kind of significantly guided you on your career journey. It sounds like your father really kind of not just guided you, but put you on the path. But did you have any other mentors when you were growing up?
Over the course of my lifetime, I have several different mentors, which include some managers and some friends. In school, as I listened to my friends a lot, I have a friend who was very good with me on taking things apart, and he helped me to move more into engineering. While on my professional side, I have managers who helped me a lot to think about how I can take ownership or how I can be better with the people, and that helped me to reach to my current stage. Thank you.
Well, that's awesome. So it was a peer of yours that actually really helped guide your career. That's really cool and unusual. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience with college and how did you choose what type of engineer you wanted to be?
So that's a really interesting thought or an interesting thing happened. Like when I graduated my high school, at that time for engineering track, software engineering was the most booming in India. Like everyone was doing that. And the thought in my mind is that everyone is doing, so I'm not sure if we will have jobs and those things. And biotech was pretty new, especially in the part of India I was. But we are the first batch of biotechnology in bachelor's degree. So the thought was, okay, let's take this. It's new. There will be a lot of more jobs and those things. Not knowing what entails in biotechnology, but it was just something new and different. So that made me move to biotechnology.
That's interesting. Were you correct? Did you feel like you had a lot of job opportunities when you finished?
So that was very wrong because as I was mentioning, it was new. It was funny because like the last 2 years of the syllabus was designing when we were doing our studies. So it was a little tough, and especially at the end, because it was so new, there were not a lot of jobs. And that was one of the reasons which motivated me to start looking up other things. Some of my friends did higher studies in India, but at the same time, I thought, what are the chances that in the next 3-4 years, the opportunity will grow in India? So that's why I moved to US and did my master's here.
Ah, sounds smart. Did you get a lot of, you know, I'm not that familiar with the college programs in India. Were there like internship opportunities or research opportunities?
There were intern opportunities. And actually, I did 2 internships in India in 2 different universities, but it was a little bit different internships than here. Over there, it's mostly you go to a company and you are told that, okay, you do this. For one of my internship, I just ran Western blots for the whole time, not knowing what is Western blot, because at that time we were not taught Western blot. So it was funny. It's like, okay, this thing you do. So we did that, and that's where it was like, it was really interesting to see Also, the other thing was that there is also in India called B Pharma, which is the degree which most of the people use to go to the pharma industry, and there was nothing related to biotechnology.
Okay. So is that a different training program?
Yes, it's a different major.
So what was it like then coming to the United States and doing your master's here?
Actually, it was very, very different and very unexpected, because before coming to here, the only way I know US was through movies, and which we know is not true. So when I landed and I went to Northeastern, and I went to Northeastern, and the houses in the front of Northeastern was like, what happened? So that was a really big shock in that way, where it's like, okay, at that time you were young, so it's like, oh, what's going on? On the same thing, it was a little bit shocking, because over here, the curriculum is very, very light compared to India. In India, like for my college, I was in college from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have like 10 or 12 different courses. So to me, when I came here, I'm like, what's going on? Also, at the same time, the cultural shock, where like in the class you can eat or you can sit, like those all things were very, very new and very different, because in India, it's not like, yeah, you are in a college, you have to despat, you have to sit properly, you have to do it. So it, all those things were very different. And also suddenly I have a lot of time on my hands, because it was like I was taking 9 credit, which is 3 courses, versus in India it was 10 courses. So I had a lot of time. And as an immigrant, due to visa rules, you can only work 20 hours part-time job. So I said, okay, let's do that, because I have so much time on my hand.
Wow. So what did you do for work while you were doing your master's?
Actually, I did several jobs. Like one of the job I did it librarian, where we were help desk. One of the other job was being guard at the dorms.
In the dormitory, yeah.
Yes. So it was interesting to do all these different kinds of job and seeing a completely different culture.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I think that there's most people who were born and raised in the United States would not go to a master's program and say, oh, so much free time.
That's true.
Yeah, that's so funny. So when you finished grad school and you were looking for work, what were you looking for in an employer?
When I was graduated, I'm not sure if I say luckily or unluckily, but I graduated in 2008. And as we know, it was the Great Recession. So at that time, it was my first job. So my goal was not to look at an employer. My goal was to just get a job. So I was looking for a company where I can learn a lot and do it. Luckily, in Northeastern, there is a internship program. And I did that at EMD Sereno. And my boss over there, he moved to a new smaller company called AdNexus, which later bought by BMS. So there he moved, and I asked him, and he said, yeah, I have an opening. And he interviewed me and I got the job. So I was really lucky to be, in a way, like as I said, I'm not sure lucky or unlucky to be graduated in 2008, but it was good.
Well, I'm glad it worked out for you. Because, yeah, I think most people would call that unlucky. So was that what kind of got you into laboratory automation, was just the necessity of I need a job, and that was the job you got?
Yes.
Did you end up enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. It was like a small company. It was less than 200 people. And it was I joined a group, which was the starting group. So I got to do everything from molecular biology to protein characterization. So doing molecular biology, cloning, protein expression, both in E. coli and mammalian, and then doing the protein purification. So in my 3 years over there, I learned a lot. So I'm definitely grateful for the opportunity and the introduction to the world of science.
Yeah, that's great. It seems like, you know, a lot of people who are doing work in laboratory automation kind of make their start in life sciences, you know, doing life science research, and then they kind of start moving over into automation. Do you have, like, what is your advice to people who are looking to make that transition, and what do they need to know before they can kind of make the transition into automation science?
Yeah, so it's what you brought is a really good point, because half of my team currently are scientists, including me, and most of the people we've switched from science. The one thing, the biggest advice from my side for anyone who's looking to switch is to take initiative. Because for most of the places where you are working as a scientist and you want to, you have to take initiative. In my example, I asked my manager one day, what is this machine and why it's sitting? And he's like, I don't know, you want to figure it out? I'm like, sure. And then I start tinkering with it. I reach out to Hamilton that, we have this machine, what we can do. And they were really helpful. They helped me to learn the machine. I programmed it, and I think it from that day I touched the machine, in 4 months I gave my first method to my manager, who pretty much I made it to do all what I was doing. So that was really helpful, and that was the start of my automation journey, because after that it's like, this can do that and that. And so I think the biggest takeaway will be proactive. Don't shy, ask questions or ask for, can you put some more efforts?
Were you at all concerned? You said that you programmed it to basically do the job you were doing. Were you concerned that, like, oh no, have I just, engineered myself out of a job? Or were you trying to set yourself up for a different job?
I was not worried, because again, as I was mentioning, I was the only person who programming. So I was like, okay, if anything happened. But yeah, I think my goal was that by that time, it was almost 6 years in the lab, and I realized that this is not the part which I want to do for my whole life. So I was looking for a way where I can move out of the lab, but stay connected. And this, after doing first programming, it seems that this is the way, and that's why I moved.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you faced in trying to essentially self-teach the laboratory automation?
I think the biggest challenge is there is no resources out there other than the companies. Like, for software engineers, you do Slack, or not Slack, sorry. You do Google and you find answers. Like, half of my software engineers says we can find answers on Google. There is nothing like that for automation engineers or anything automation. For automation, you have to go to the vendor. You have, luckily there are vendors who are very helpful and happy to help, but then there are vendors who just don't help. And so it's really hard to learn, because there is no resource out there. Nowadays, I know there are some people who are working on making it open source or putting more resources, but 10 years ago, there was no resources. So that was the biggest challenge we had.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty surprising, because 10 years ago, I feel like it wasn't that long ago. I would have expected there to be something out there for you. Wow. So what made you decide then to move on and start working at Moderna?
At my previous company, once I start automating, we quickly bought like 5 or 6 different Hamiltons, and we automated several processes. But after that, whenever next time I talk to people that, we should buy more or automate more, it's like, we don't have resources, or we don't have money to do it. So it was very clear that my career trajectory was stalled at around that area. So my next move was to start looking outside. And when I was looking outside, at that time, Moderna was a pretty young company, but they proved that they believe in automation, and automation is their fundamental. So that's where I talked to the people here and find out. And that's when I said, okay, it's time to move.
Was there a reason why you chose to work for a smaller company like Moderna versus a much larger company that already was well-established?
Yes. The biggest reason is that my first job was for a smaller company, and I really liked the culture over there, because you have a lot of growth opportunity. At the same time, you have time to learn more and grow more. At the same time, my biggest thing is that in a large company, it's hard to find a time with CEO or know who is CEO, C-suite is. But in like my previous at Nexus, we had the C-suite who used to sit with us for lunch or used to meet with us, which was always interesting. So when I so that's one of the reasons I was looking for a small startup. And luckily, when I was interviewing at Moderna at that time, the CEO interviewed me. So I was like, okay, if they are interviewing people at my level, and so they are definitely want good talent and there is a lot of opportunities.
Yeah. Is that something that you would, you know, if there's somebody out there who's maybe, you know, recently graduated and they're trying to make their job search and choose what sort of company to work for, you know, would you advise them to what type of person would you advise to look for a smaller company?
I would say that for anyone who is choosing out, there are a lot of different factors to consider. First of all, I say that like you have to consider the culture of the company, because there are places where you can learn a lot, but it will be hectic. But there are cultures where you can work and enjoy work-life balance. Similarly, there is what type of work you are doing, because to me, the type of work is more important than the size of the company. At the same time, job security, because when you start looking at smaller companies, there is always a risk of not getting enough funding. And so I say it's a combination of some of these factors, and everyone should try to do their research. The other important thing is that it's always a good idea to try to talk to someone who is working in that industry or in that company, because even in bigger companies, I know that there are some smaller groups which are really well and like really well organized or really well communicative. So in that scenario, maybe you are going to a bigger company, but then you have a culture of a small startup or a small company within that. So it's always a good idea to try to talk to someone who's working in that company.
Yeah, that's some great advice. So obviously, Moderna has gone through some explosive growth as a company over the past 4 years. And so I was wondering if you could speak a little bit, you know, what has that been like as an employee to be a part of this company that has really just blown up so much over such a short period of time?
So it has been rewarding to be a part of the company which works on the mission to impact so many people possible with mRNA medicine. Especially with COVID, we were able to save so many lives. So definitely it's rewarding. I say, in my opinion, the biggest challenge in exploding is hiring. As you guys know that we hired more than 3,000 people in less than 3 months, 3 years. So it's like hiring 1,000 people per year is a big task. And while doing that, making sure that we are completing that task needed. So in my opinion, that was the biggest challenge to accommodate. Also, when you are hiring, for a good culture, you want to make sure the people you are hiring are smart. So doing more interviews and finding right people is always tough.
Mm-hmm. Did that change the company culture at all? Do you feel like, you know, having so many new people all of a sudden added into the workforce?
Actually, Moderna put a lot of effort on that part and making sure that the culture stays the same. We have a lot of different steps put it in place to make sure that the culture don't change. And I'm happy to say that it didn't change it.
Well, that's very impressive. I would give a big hand to Moderna for putting in that effort, because I can imagine that that's not a small feat at all.
Definitely took a lot of efforts.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you enjoy most about your day-to-day work?
The biggest thing which I enjoyed or I am proud of is I can, like, a lot of time people heard that, okay, we released medicine so quickly, but people don't realize that what it takes in the back. And that's where I'm proud that I can proudly say anything, the medicine which came out, indirectly, I have a hand in there because we have the whole automation system was in place before COVID. So when it happened, we used our automation system and somewhere indirectly, I helped the company. So that's what I'm very proud of. In day-to-day, it's always a great when you look at a scientist and they see, oh, you can automate this and this can save me this much hours or my hand. That's always rewarding because a lot of time people think, oh, as you were mentioning, that by automating, I'm replacing their job. And that's one thing I tell. Automation never replaces your job. It makes your life easier to do better things. Actually, we were having a discussion about this one time that all these scientists and people who do grad work, and then they come and they start doing pipetting. That's what not they paid for, and that's not what they want to do. So once we start automating, then they realize, oh, I can do more. And then they also feel appreciated and they can feel that, oh, I have more things other than just like an example of ELISA. Like people are pipetting daily. That's not what you graduated to do for. So that's always rewarding.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point because I feel like it's common among, you know, scientists where we go to school and you think you have a vision of what being a scientist, a lab scientist will be like. And then you graduate and you realize, oh, it's a lot of repetitive tasks like pipetting. And now it almost seems like with automation, we are getting people closer to the vision of what they thought being a scientist would really be like.
Yes, definitely. And that's where it's rewarding because like you are helping others achieving their goals.
Yeah, that's really fantastic. So speaking of which, you know, I'd love to hear a little bit about your perspective on what does success look like for you? You know, how will you know that you are being successful in your job or in your career?
So I say, again, there are several factors to say what is success. In my opinion, the first one is impact. What are you impacting or how you are impacting the world with your job, which is to me very important. The other thing is continuous learning. Are you learning anything new? Because if not, then you are the smartest person and do you want to be smartest? It's always a good idea to learn. And then on top of that, it's personal fulfillment. Like, do you feel that you achieve something in your life or in your day? So to me, those are at least the 3 points where I count as success. And I'm happy to say that I am doing all of those.
Oh, wonderful. I love to hear that. That's so great. Well, Kalpesh, it's been really fun having you on the podcast. And I feel like I've learned so much about your journey and about what it's like to be a lab automation engineer. And so I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us and can't wait to see you at future SLAS events.
Thanks a lot for inviting, and it was a really nice experience talking to you.